Hello, everyone. My name is Jacob Minnig. I am the host of the Behavioral Health Integration Podcast. Today, we have a pretty cool episode. I will be going over DSM-5 and the many different types of disorders that are in this big purple book. This is also a really good episode for all the graduate students taking diagnostic assessment class, DSM-5, abnormal, psychology, and this is also good for all the post-grad students like myself who have their master's degrees and who are studying for their LPCC exam, which I hear they are changing the content of it, but as we all know, it's very heavily based on diagnostic assessments and different types of symptoms, scenarios, and I just feel like these episodes are going to be very beneficial to individuals like us and anyone who wants to learn about mental health disorders. So here we go. So for the first disorder that we should go over is attention deficit hyperactive disorder, also commonly known as ADHD. I know this is a very, very popular one for the elementary, junior high, high school kids, college kids, anyone who apparently lacks focus. So let's check it out, the diagnostic criteria. So this is the A section. So a persistent pattern of inattention and or hyperactivity, impulsivity that interferes with functioning or development as characterized by one and or two of the symptoms that are going to be announced. So part one is inattention, all right? So six or more of the following symptoms have to be present, okay? So they would have to been persisted or occurring for at least 6 months to a degree that is inconsistent with developmental level or of the person, and that it negatively impacts their social life or schoolwork or occupational activities like your job duties, etc. So a special note, the symptoms are not solely and a manifestation of oppositional behavior, defiance, hostility, or failure to understand tasks or instructions. So for older adolescents and adults, this would be like ages 17 or older, just know at least five symptoms are required. All right, so symptom A, often fails to give close attention to details or makes careless mistakes in schoolwork, work, or other daily life activities. So in general, they just overlook or miss details like in work. They're just very, very inaccurate in their ability to understand like directions. All right, symptom B, often has difficulty sustaining attention in tasks or plays activities. So they would have a hard time just remaining focused during like lectures, conversations, reading for long periods of time. They don't really specify how long, they just say lengthy reading. All right, symptom C, often does not seem to listen when spoken to directly. So their mind seems like elsewhere, like they're kind of like daydreaming, even in the absence of any obvious distraction. So no distraction, like a silent area. So you should be able to pay attention, but again, you're still in la la land. Symptom D, often does not follow through on instructions or fails to finish schoolwork, homework, chores, duties in the workplace. They would start a job or a task, but then quickly lose focus or interest and be easily sidetracked to do something else. Or I believe another common issue would be they would start one thing, but then start another and another and another. So they have like five, six things they're doing, but they don't complete one thing. All right, symptom E, has a hard time organizing tasks and activities, difficulty managing sequential tasks, difficulty keeping materials and belongings in order. They're very messy, disorganized work, has very poor time management skills, and they fail to meet deadlines. Symptom F, often avoids or dislikes in engaging in tasks that require sustained mental effort, like focus, like schoolwork, homework, Another example for older adolescents and adults when it comes to, like, let's say, preparing reports, completing forms, reviewing lengthy papers. Yeah, it sucks. I hate doing that. Symptom G, often loses things necessarily for work stuff, activities. So for kids in school, it could just be school materials like pencils, books, tools, wallets, keys, paperwork, eyeglasses, a lot of different stuff. So you just lose things a lot. Symptom H is that they are often easily distracted by extraneous stimuli. So again, for older adolescents and adults, this may include like unrelated thoughts. Symptom I is often forgetful in daily activities like doing chores, running errands. For older teenagers or adults, this could be like returning phone calls, paying bills, keeping up with appointments. So really big on time management. Now we're on to section 2, which is hyperactivity and impulsivity. So for this section, you will need 6 or more of the following symptoms to diagnose ADHD. Again, remember this has to be persistent for at least 6 months to agree that it is inconsistent with development levels and that negatively impacts directly on social and academic schoolwork as well as job duties. So symptom A, again, the individual often fidget with themselves, like tap their hands or their feet, shaky legs, like while they're sitting down. B, often leave seat in situations when remaining seated is expected. They'll leave like the classroom for a little bit, or they'll leave the office or workplace, walk around. And again, they just can't sit still for long periods of time. They often are section C, or symptom C, often runs about, climbs on stuff where it's appropriate. And then symptom D, they are unable to play or engage in leisure activities, follow rules regarding the activity. Symptom E is often always on the go, always moving. They're acting as if they were driven by a motor, you know, they're constantly going. They are unable to be, or they're very uncomfortable being still for an extended period of time, especially when it comes to like you're in a restaurant eating or you're in a meeting. Others may say they act restless or they behave restlessly. They're always, again, fidgeting, moving. Symptom F, they often talk excessively all the time. Symptom G, they often blurt out an answer before a question has been completed, or they'll complete other people's sentences. Yeah, I've been guilty of that too. They cannot wait for their term. They're very impatient. So symptom H, they often have difficulty waiting their turn. So again, waiting in line is a classic example. They get agitated really quickly when they have to wait. Symptom I, they often interrupt or intrude on others. They always add butts into conversation or games or activities. They may start using other people's things without asking. So just to go back, everything that I have mentioned so far when it comes to diagnosing ADHD, there is clusters, just like with any diagnosis. Now, what we just went through is cluster A, which there's like 2 sections. So again, the first one was inattention, and the one I just got doing was the hyperactivity and impulsivity. Now we're going to move through B, C, D, and E. So B would be several inattentive or hyperactive impulse symptoms that were present in the client when you're doing the assessment. And then when you're doing the history, all this would have been prior to the age of 12 years old. So if like a parent saw these type of behaviors or whatnot. C, several inattentive or hyperactive impulsive symptoms that are present in 2 or more of the settings, which would be, let's say, at home, school, work, or just hanging out with friends. And then D, there's a clear evidence, or it's clearly evident that the symptoms interfere with or reduce the quality of like social situations, like making friends, academic schoolwork, or occupational functioning, like at work. And then E, the symptoms do not occur exclusively during the course of, let's say, schizophrenia or another psychotic disorder and are not better explained by another disorder. Now, the next part in the diagnostic section would be the specification. So it goes like this, where you specify whether, and again, the codes are different. So this first one would be like an F314.01 and then F90.2. So again, you're just combining the disorder with the symptoms. So this would be a combination presentation. So if both criteria in A1, so the A section, which is inattention, and then criteria A2, hyperactivity, impulsivity, if both these are together, they're met for the least past 6 months. All right. So that's what you would put for a code if you're diagnosing. Next one is 314.00, F90.0. So this would be predominantly inattention or inattentive presentation. So that's if criteria in A1, so inattention, is met, but then criteria A2, hyperactivity, impulsivity, is not showed or displayed for the previous 6 months, and this is what you would put down. So again, you only really saw inattention, but no hyperactive-like symptoms. Next would be F314.01, so F90.1, okay, so predominantly hyperactive impulsivity presentation. So if criteria A2, so if you saw hyperactivity and impulsivity is there, but then there's no inattention for the past 6 months, then that's the code you would put down. So always make sure you specify if like the client is like in partial remission. That'd be if the full criteria symptoms were there, previously met, you know, but then fewer than the full criteria have been met for the past 6 months. And the symptoms still result in impairment when it comes to like social activities, schoolwork, or work functioning. Now there's certain levels, so then you would specify the severity of it. So again, there's mild, moderate, and severe. Mild would be just a few, if any symptoms were like shown by the client, in excess of those required to make the diagnosis are present, and the symptoms result in no more than just minor issues like in school, work in school. There are some issues, but you're still over or able to overcome them and everything. Moderate, though, would be symptoms or functional impairment between, again, the mild and severe. All right. So then severe would be many symptoms in excess of those required to make the diagnosis are several symptoms that are shown by the client that are, again, of high level, very severe when it comes to, again, school, work, and social life. Which I wish they would give you more of an example of what mild and severe, but it's more just, I believe, based on how bad is your ability to function in those settings. If, again, you have a lot of those symptoms that I just mentioned, and they're severely impairing your ability to have a healthy, functioning life, then we have to do something about that. So, and then let's see, it kind of gets into the diagnostic features. So it explains more about what ADHD is and a better way of explaining what those symptoms are. So right off the bat, they kind of get into inattention. Okay, what is inattention? Well, they say inattention just develops and manifests behaviorally in ADHD. So you, again, you're just getting onto wandering off tasks. You cannot focus. You cannot complete a job. You're just wandering off. You're lacking persistence, having difficulty sustaining focus, and you're always, or for the most part, disorganized. And again, it's just not necessarily you being defiant. It's just the way you are functioning as a person right now, like how your brain works. It's not, you're not doing it to like upset people. You're not doing it to disrespect them. It's just the way you are. Then hyperactivity, again, refers to excessive motor activity, such as, again, child running about, fidgeting with your hands, tapping. So it might look different, though, in adults. In adults, hyperactivity may show as extreme restlessness or wearing others out with their activities. It's always on the move. Impulsivity, again, refers to hasty, quick actions that occur in the moment without giving it a lot of thought. And then having high potential for harm in the individual, like you're putting yourself in like dangerous situations without thinking about it. One would be, okay, dashing into the streets without looking left or right and getting hit by a car or something, you know? So then impulsivity could just reflect on also a desire for immediate rewards or an ability to delay gratification. And again, I'm not going to go over every section of the DSM-5 when it comes to ADHD, but I just will mention some of the important factors and sections about it to be aware of. Like, another interesting topic is just the gender-related diagnostic issues. So it's good to know, again, hey, is this more prevalent in men or women, or boys and girls? Who normally has it the most? Well, they say that ADHD is actually more frequent in males than females when it comes to the general population, with the, I guess, ratio of 2-1 in children and 6-1 in adults. Okay. Females are more likely than males to present primarily with inattentive features, but not so much the hyperactiveness. Now let's get into the functional consequences of ADHD. Now, it's important to know that ADHD is normally connected with just poor school performance, like bad grades, poor scores in homework, social rejection, and in adults, low occupational performance, they don't do the job very well, they have difficulty time obtaining a job and holding on to it, poor attendance, and a higher chance of, again, overall unemployment. When it comes to, again, interpersonal conflict that they go through, children with ADHD are at risk for difficulty making friends. So kids with ADHD normally have issues, again, following rules, playing games with the kids, other kids getting frustrated with their behavior, always interrupting them, and so forth. It's also been shown that they're at higher risk, especially when they get into the adolescent stage, of antisocial personality disorders in adulthood, consequently increasing the likelihood for drug and alcohol abuse or incarceration. And another important thing for clinicians to be aware of is the different diagnoses that are similar to ADHD, but not quite, if that makes sense. So, oppositional defiant disorder. So again, that's more with individuals who are oppositional and defiant, which could, I guess, cause work issues and school issues. And then they just, again, are very combative. Now, again, their behavior is characterized by negativity, hostility, and defiance. So these symptoms must be differentiated from, let's say, aversion to school or mentally demanding tasks due to difficulty in sustaining mental effort, forgetting instructions, and impulsivity in individuals with ADHD. So, complicating the differential diagnosis is the fact that some individuals with ADHD may develop a secondary oppositional attitude towards others, which devalue their performance. Another one is intermittent explosive disorder. So, ADHD and intermittent explosive disorder share high levels of, again, impulsive-like behavior. However, though, individuals with intermittent explosive disorder show serious aggression towards other people, which, again, is not characteristic of ADHD. And they do not experience problems with sustaining attention as seen in ADHD. Another point is intermittent explosive disorder is rare in childhood. Intermittent explosive disorder may be diagnosed in the presence of someone with ADHD, but is not ADHD. And other neurodevelopmental disorders to be aware of is just the increased motor activity that may occur in ADHD must be distinguished from the repetitive motor behavior that is characterized by stereotypical movement disorder and some cases of autism spectrum disorder. So again, they're not the same thing. So in stereotypic movement disorder, the motoric behavior is generally fixed and repetitive, like, let's say, body rocking or even self-biting, whereas fidgetiness and restlessness in ADHD are typically generalized and not characterized by repetitive stereotypic movements. Now, in Tourette's disorder, frequent multiple tics can be mistaken for general fidgetiness of an individual with ADHD. Prolonged observation may be needed to differentiate fidgetiness from bouts of multiple tics. Let's go to autism spectrum disorder. So individuals with ADHD and those with autism spectrum disorder, both, yes, exhibit an attention, social dysfunction, and issues are difficulty managing their behaviors. The social dysfunction and peer rejection seen with people with ADHD must be distinguished from the social disengagement, isolation, and indifference to facial and tonal communication cues seen in individuals with autism spectrum disorder. Children with autism spectrum disorder may display tantrums because of the inability to tolerate a change from their expected course of events. So, in contrast, children with ADHD may misbehave or have a tantrum during a major transition because of the impulsivity or poor low self-control. Now, people with reactive attachment disorder, children with reactive attachment disorder may show social disinhibition, but not the full ADHD symptom cluster, and display other features such as a lack of enduring relationships that are not characteristic of ADHD. Now I want to take some time to get into the different types of interventions with people with ADHD. Right off the bat, when it comes to the therapies, CBT has been known to provide helpful interventions towards people with ADHD when it comes to, I guess, different types of mindfulness and awareness. So again, that gets into CBT and DBT, dialectical behavior therapy, mindful-based stress reduction, meditations have known to be very well to help keep them focused, more relaxed. So mindfulness and mindful meditation. And then, obviously, there's different types of behavioral therapies that have been proven to be somewhat beneficial, as well as family, therapy counseling, marital counseling, ADHD coaching, ADHD support groups. But it's important to know that the last three that I just mentioned have minimal research, but still been known to be proven effective. Also, physical activity, exercise, living a healthy lifestyle has been proven to help. And also, it's always important to get plenty of sleep. Get your 7 to 8 hours of sleep every day. That's been helpful. And a healthy diet. Again, I'm not a dietitian, so I can't say exactly what to eat. But a healthy diet has also been known to help with ADHD-like symptoms. And then you have medications. So the couple popular ones would be Adderall and Vyvanse. And Ritalin's one too. It's a little bit older one, but that's also been used for ADHD. And for a non-stimulant medication, Stratura has also been used. Well, that about does it for my ADHD diagnostic and intervention episode. I just want to thank all my listeners for your support, and just know the information and content expressed in this episode was not meant to be taken as therapeutic advice. If you do find yourself struggling with any type of mental health or addiction issue, please seek the care of a medical doctor or a licensed professional clinical counselor. All right, thank you and have a good day, everyone. Bye.